copy to be made, but the way it works is you'll have to come back next week to get it, right? At first I thought, well, we should give the tapes to people right after they leave, and then I thought, oh, no, wait a minute, that's the way to get them to come back, right? So, actually, I don't think it's planned that way on purpose, but it does work that way, I guess. Or you can have somebody pick it up for you. But the tape for last week is free, and I hope that you'll all be able to pick one up for yourself or someone else. Now, today we're going to talk about praying for things, material things. Is that something we should do? Some people ask, should we pray for things? Does God want us to pray for things? Isn't that kind of selfish? Some people say, well, why pray for things? I've tried praying for things, and I didn't get the things I asked for, so why try? So people have a lot of questions about praying for things, and we're going to look at that today, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, as we begin our Bible study this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Like most of you, I am indebted to other Christian people who have come before me and who have studied. I'm sort of like the eunuch on his way back from Jerusalem going back home, and how Philip appeared into his life and helped him understand things in the Bible. There's lots of things I wouldn't understand in the Bible, except that other people before me helped me to understand. And there is a person that some of you remember I mentioned a week or so ago named Glenn Kuhn. And Glenn Kuhn used to travel all over North America conducting what he called the ABC Prayer Crusade. How many of you have ever attended an ABC Prayer Crusade? Can I see your hands? Come on now, stick them up there. Okay, a few. He's been dead for quite some time. He lived to be 90-some years old, but finally passed away quite a few years ago. And he was the one who taught us that if we want to pray for something, we should follow the Bible pattern. And he said there is a science of prayer to be found in the Bible, and that God has told us how to pray for things. And so right here is the A, Matthew 7, verse 7. Jesus says, what's the first word?
Ask.
Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Well, here God says, he invites us, he says, ask. Ask for things. Well, somebody might say, but isn't it kind of, you know, selfish to ask God for a Mercedes or something like that? Well, that depends on what you're going to use that Mercedes for. Now, for me, that would probably be a little bit on the selfish side. Is it wrong, though, to ask God for things? Well, turn to James chapter 4, verse 2. James chapter 4, verse 2. The last sentence of that verse leaves us with a very important thought. James chapter 4, verse 2. He says, yet you do not have because why? It seems pretty simple, doesn't it? But receiving something from God is contingent upon asking. And that if we don't ask, we're not going to receive. And a lot of people miss a lot of blessings because they don't ask. You remember that hymn? If you remember it, sing it with me. It goes like this. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry, how much? Everything to God in prayer. Now catch this. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Well, I've often said that there are lots of hymns in the hymn book that if we don't believe it, we ought to not sing them, right? Like blessed assurance, you know, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. If you don't have that assurance and you don't really believe you can have that assurance, well, then you probably shouldn't sing that song. Or face to face with Christ my Savior, and that verse, that song talks about saved by grace. Well, if we don't believe some of those things, we shouldn't sing them. But praise the Lord, I believe that I'm saved by grace. How about you? And I'm going to sing that song. And praise the Lord, I believe in blessed assurance, and I'm thankful today that Jesus is my Savior and that I have eternal life. How about you? So, likewise, I believe that What a Friend We Have in Jesus is a good hymn. And it says, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And so I've made it a habit through the years to pray to God about everything, because it matters to Him about what happens in your life, even little details. Now, of course, when it comes to praying for things, in 1 John chapter 4, turn there, please. 1 John chapter 4, what did I say? 5. 1 John 5, verse 14. 1 John 5, verse 14. How are you guys today? Doing all right? Okay, decide ask. 1 John 5, 14. Seems a little quiet today. 1 John 5, 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask what? Anything according to what? His will, He hears us. Now, when we pray about physical things, material things, we should always say, your will be done. Even Jesus did that in the garden about His physical life. He said, not my will, but yours be done. Now, there are things that we know are God's will. Is it God's will to forgive your sins?
Amen.
Oh, man, you guys are not very loud today. Is it God's will to forgive us our sins?
Amen.
Yes, that's right. Because you see, you need to really, you know, I am going to preach that sermon, I think. It's okay to say amen. I can feel it coming on. Okay, it is God's will to forgive our sins. Is it God's will to save you eternally in His kingdom?
Yes.
Is it God's will to help you overcome your sins?
Yes.
These are all things that we know are God's will. And many more besides. So when we ask for those things, we have perfect confidence that we receive the very things we've asked for. But when it comes to praying for material things, sometimes it is not God's will to give us a material thing, because it interferes with our eternal salvation and the process of becoming like Jesus. We'll say more about that in a minute. But that's why we are taught to pray, your will be done. Now turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. One of the reasons that Jesus wants us to freely ask for blessings is so that we might be a channel of blessing to others. He says here in Matthew 10, verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. By the way, I believe God still does and wants to do all of those things. And I've seen all of those things except the raising of the dead. I haven't seen that yet, but I've met people who have seen it. I have. All right, so I know that God still does these things. I've watched it myself. I've seen it myself, except for that one. And I have good testimony from other people who have seen it happen. All right? And then he says, freely you have received. And then he says, to do what? You see, if we are not receiving God's blessings, how can we give God's blessings? And he says that we are to ask for things and we shall receive. All right? Let me give you an example. This is a little thing. When we were going to Walla Walla College down south here, it was a winter quarter. Now I have to just back up and tell you that I didn't, my parents, bless their hearts, they just were not able to help me go to school. They just did not have the money. I was there on my own. And then after I married Dolly, which is the best earthly decision I ever made after giving my heart to Jesus, I married her, and she helped me because she had finished college. She took a two-year degree, and so the last couple of years she was able to work and help me. What a blessing that was. So, and then God did a lot of other things, and here's one of the things that God did. I tried really hard to pay my bills on time, and we scrimped and saved and lived very frugally. And because we were doing those things, I could freely come to God and ask Him to help us. And besides that, and this is a whole other sermon, we were returning our tithe to God faithfully every month as we received our income. And so I remember that one particular time when fall quarter was over and Christmas break was coming. And I was thinking, good, I have a nice long Christmas break. I can work hard because I hung sheetrock, and I thought, okay, you know, the nice thing I liked about sheetrock is that you get paid for what you do. I love piecework, because when you're working piecework, you get paid for what you do. And so I would go in there, I work hard, and I had a nice long time for vacation. I thought, I can work hard and make the money that I need to put down on my bill for the next month. Well, wouldn't you know it, work slowed down right about the time Christmas break came, and there weren't as many housing starts as there had been. And so I thought, well, I did my best, and I did make some money, and I was able to pay off the previous quarter's bill and all that, but I needed $600 to put down on my school bill before I could register for the next quarter. Wow, I could see I wasn't going to make it. So what do? Well, I'm sitting there and I'm starting to write out my tithe check for that coming Sabbath, you know, and I'm thinking, well, I could delay my tithe. See, pastors get tempted too, just remember, okay? I thought, well, I could delay my tithe. And I thought, no, God has always been faithful to me, and it says, he says right there in Malachi that if I return my tithe to him, he will bless me. And I'm not going to withhold God's tithe from him. So I made that decision. I turned in the tithe to the Lord and then kept praying about it and asked God to please help us. That week, when I went out to the mailbox, my sister, Judy, that's for my wife, because she always says, tell us which sister. I have four of them. So my sister, Judy, bless her heart, she sent a Christmas card. And in the Christmas card, when I opened it, here was a check for $630. And she wrote this note in there, and she said, Kevin, she said, the other day I was deeply impressed that you needed some money. And she said, I don't know how much you need, but she said, and you know, they weren't rich, but she said, I sent this money. I hope it's what you need. And of course, I told her later that it was $30 over what I needed to register for school. And we always, now I'm not asking you to follow this example. I mean, you do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, but I've always returned tithe on gifts. And so that's $60, you know, in this case, $63. Well, guess what? I had $30 in the account, in my account, banking account, with the $30 extra that she gave, I was able to return tithe and still have money for my school bill. Now, either you're stunned or you forgot to say amen. You know, God hears our prayers. Now, what if I hadn't asked? Well, the Bible says I wouldn't have received. Hey, turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Mark chapter 11, the B that Elder Kuhn taught us. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, and what's the B? Believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. What did Jesus say about the importance of believing when we ask for things? Here's a man who came to him and asked him to please heal his child. And when he came to Jesus, his response to this man is very interesting. Now let's see here. Let's move on. Yes, let's keep starting with verse 18. He says, while he spoke these things to him, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Now is that faith? Yes, it is. And then you go down to verse 22, and a lady who touched him on the way said, when she had this problem of bleeding, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment on the way. And in verse 22, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your what? Your faith has made you well. And then when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And of course, they laughed at him. But when the crowd was put aside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land. Notice the importance of faith and having belief in what Jesus will do for you when you ask, when you pray, to believe that he will hear your prayer. Now, I'll help you with that as we go along. Now, I'll go to Matthew chapter 8. It's just a chapter back. Go to Matthew chapter 8. You notice here that here is a centurion, a Roman, not a Jew, not a Christian, a centurion, a pagan. But he understood that Jesus had a connection, and he came to Jesus. And he said, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed. That's in verse 6, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And Jesus said to the centurion, he says, go home. your servant is made well. And he was, just as Jesus said, in harmony with the word that Jesus had spoken. Now, I've seen stuff like this. I've seen this kind of stuff happen. I have. Some of you have probably seen it. Jesus still does things like this. I believe when I pray for someone that wonderful things are happening in the unseen world of the angels and that the Holy Spirit is working when we pray. I know that that's happening. Now, Wayne, I'm going to ask you, I feel safe that I can ask you to come up here for a second, and I'd like you to come up and help me. Wayne's a friend of mine, and I think he'll still be a friend of mine after this is over. All right. Now, Wayne, you and I and the class upstairs, we were talking about Randy a little while ago, and Randy Phillips and his illness and his attitude and all that. Now, first I want to ask you a question, and then I want you to tell us, the whole group, what you told us upstairs. And that is that our friend Randy was sick with cancer, and his prayer was to be healed so that he might see his grandchild born, right? You remember that?
That's right.
And the doctors didn't give him that much time. And he was very, very ill when we met together down there in College Place. You could see it in his face and his body. He was very ill, and we were all worried about him. But we all knelt for prayer and anointed him as the Bible says to do. And you know, there was a healing that took place there. Randy had remarkable good health for a period of time. And he was able to see his grandchild born. That was his prayer. That was his request. And then after a time, his cancer came back. And the doctors were amazed it went away. And then many of us were amazed that the cancer was allowed to come back. But you know, as he began to die from that illness, he had a wonderful testimony. Wayne, would you tell us what that was?
Yeah, his testimony was, he said, Wayne, if I could go back and change all of this, you know, and I was expecting him to say, well, I'd like to not have cancer. I'd like to be able to enjoy my new grandchild. I'd like to be able to do a lot of other things. But he said, if I could change everything, he said, I wouldn't change one thing. Because he said, I've never been so close to the Lord as I am right now in my life. And I thought, how can you take that from somebody? He died in the arms of Jesus. And the next thing we'll know is Randy being brought up from the grave when Jesus calls him out of the grave. But what a testimony of his faith and trust in the Lord. And the Lord gave him that peace and gave him that kind of relationship.
Thank you, Wayne, very much. You know, and that is an amen. You know, which takes more faith, to receive a yes answer or a no answer? It all takes faith, right? You know, and that's why we say your will be done when it comes to praying for things, because God knows best. And God allowed Randy to go to sleep, but he had faith that he would see Jesus and be resurrected when the Lord comes again. Faith is something that is not, if you don't have enough faith, it's not your fault. You can't make yourself have more faith. If you say, well, I don't have that much faith, well, join the crowd. God gives faith as you need it. In fact, faith is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's something that God gives to you. It's like, as your need is, so he will supply. So don't sit there today and say, well, I don't have that much faith, or I don't think I've had that much faith. Well, you can't make yourself have more faith. It's something you can only get from God. And so pray and ask God to give you the faith that you need for whatever it is that you need faith for. That's a gift that God will give you. Now, if you want to turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 7. Another way to get faith is right here, Romans chapter 10, verse 7. Not only should we ask for it, but the Bible says that as we pray, that he will supply our faith. Romans 10, verse 17. I think I said 7, but it's 10:17. So then faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. One of the reasons why Christians have so little faith is that they have spent so little time in the word of God. If we would take our Bibles out and read them, our faith would grow. And we would see more of God's power around in the world around us. We would recognize it because we've seen it here. And then we would know what to ask for. We would know how to ask. Jesus said, you receive not because you ask amiss, he said. But if we knew what God says, we would know how to ask for the things that God has promised to give. And we would have more answers to prayer. So, I want you to turn now to Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, I think I've worn this verse out in my life. If you can wear a verse out, I've worn this one out, okay? But I just keep wearing it thinner and thinner. You know, the neat thing about God's promises is they are so thick, it would take you a lifetime of wearing on them to even take off a little bit of the surface off of it, you know, because God's promises are so powerful. But here in Psalm 84, verse 11, The last part, this is, oh man, what a statement about God this is. But get this. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. I want you to repeat that with me. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Oh, wow. We serve an awesome, generous, merciful God. And besides that, he's rich. He owns all the planets and all the universe and everything in all those planets, billions upon billions and trillions times trillions of planets. He owns it all. And he's able to give us every single thing we ever could ask or think beyond whatever we could ask or think. What a great and mighty and powerful God he is. Many times we've gone to him. You may think I'm silly, but I pray about lots of things. When my razor broke, I prayed about it. You can laugh if you want to. It's okay. But I did. I prayed about it. And God helped me figure out how to fix it because I didn't have the money to buy a new one. That's the truth. And so I took that thing apart. You know, a lot of times you take stuff apart, you might as well go buy another one, right? I took that thing apart and I prayed and I said, God, I don't have the money to buy a new one, but I believe you can help me fix it. And he helped me fix it and it worked. And I used that thing for years. And I'm not a razor mechanic, okay? God can do anything. I pray about everything. I pray when things get lost, I pray about it. When stuff happens in the car, I pray about it. When stuff happens with my house, I pray about it. I pray about everything. I'm talking to God about stuff all the time. And I know he wants to hear it. And he doesn't get worn out like we do. His ears don't get tired of hearing. You know, when we're raising our kids, they talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk sometimes. And after a while, you're thinking, man, it's bedtime, isn't it? But God is not like that. He loves to hear from us. He wants to hear from us. He asks us to come and talk to him and tell him about all the stuff that we need in our life. He's got resources unabounded, and he wants to share it with us. And I've been the recipient of many of those things. I want to tell you about a man I know about. I know this is a true story because I watched it happen. This guy, a hard worker in our community where we live, hard worker, he works so hard. But you know, sometimes the money just goes spreads so thin, especially sometimes, you know, sometimes in the year or sometimes in the season of years, the money just seems to not go anywhere, you know. It just seems to, you bring it in and poof, it's gone, you know. And Christmas was coming. And, oh, his heart was breaking. And he said he didn't even have the money to get a Christmas tree for Christmas, let alone presents. And he was just devastated because he loved his kids. And he said, Lord, you know, what am I going to do? He was a man of prayer. And he told me that he took it to the Lord and prayed. He said, Lord, I don't have the money even for the presents that my children deserve. They've been such good kids, and I would like to do just something for my kids. And he took it to God in prayer, and he claimed verses like this. He said, I know that if you see fit that this is a good thing for my kids to have these gifts, I believe that you will help me. He prayed that prayer. He kept praying that prayer, and then he told me that out of the blue, out of the clear blue, this guy that he had done some work for in the past, who had never paid him, called him up and said, you know, he said, I never paid you for that job. And he said, it's been on my conscience all this time. And he said, you know, I just got to get it off my conscience. I'm sorry. And I want to apologize to you for withholding what was due you. And I'm writing you out a check for the full amount plus some interest. And he had more than enough money to take care of the needs that his children had for Christmas. Now, some of you might be in that situation. I think you should pray about it. I think you should talk to God and pray about it and ask him to help you with that need. Okay, one more verse. Turn to John chapter 11, verse 41. John chapter 11, verse 41. Jesus, when he came to the tomb of Lazarus, he prayed. And part of his prayer before he arose Lazarus from his grave, he prayed and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. You see, that's the C, to claim or to thank God that he has heard us. When we come to God and pray, it is to begin with praise and end with praise. In Matthew chapter 6, you'll remember the Lord's Prayer. I want you to say it with me, okay? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the praise part. That begins with praise. Okay? Then it goes, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here's the praise part. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Jesus taught us how to pray. Now, he didn't want us to just repeat that prayer as if that was the prayer. He gave us an outline. He told us the kinds of things that we should pray to God and how we should pray. And when we come to God, it goes, you know, that song, it goes, we will enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. We begin our prayers with praise, and we end our prayers with thank you, God, that you have heard my prayer, and I know that you will do what is best. When you turn to Matthew again, chapter 9, see if I've got it right here, Matthew chapter 9. Something tells me that's not quite right, but let's find out. Matthew chapter 9. Yes. Chapter 9, verse 20. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. Then they brought him, this young man, to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, that is the boy, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. Can you imagine wrestling with that since he was a baby? And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, catch that. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus first had to help the father before he could help the boy. Too many of us approach God as if he was reluctant to help us and to save us and to give us what we need. God is not reluctant. He's eager. And so he turns to this man. He says, if you can believe. It wasn't a matter of if Jesus could do anything. It was, can you believe? If you can believe, all things are what? Oh. Is everybody looking? Matthew 9, verse 23. If you can believe, all things are what? Possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's a good... on me. Okay. Mark. Hey, I feel good. You guys were looking. That's great. That's wonderful. I don't mind being wrong as long as you're looking. That's good. Mark chapter 9. Okay, Mark chapter 9. He says, if you can believe, in verse 23, all things are possible to him who believes. And then he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's a good prayer to pray. Sometimes, you know, we need to pray for faith. And he said, if we would ask, he would give it to us. Well, I'm going to end with this story so that we try to stay close to our closing time. And I can pick it up next time. So here's the story. Our daughter, Carrie, when she was about 8 years old, she came to me and asked, Daddy, I would like a horse. Now, I haven't told you this story, have I? But I was just remembering. I told this story recently, but not here. So she said, Daddy, I'd like to have a horse. Number one problem, we didn't have the money for a horse. Number two problem, we didn't have the place for a horse. Number three problem, we didn't have the money to keep up a horse, even if we had number one and number two. And so, but, you know, oh, when your daughter, and you love your daughter, and she comes and she asks you, and I told her, I said, sweetheart, I would like nothing more in all the world than for you to have a horse. Now, I didn't want the horse, but I wanted her to have it. I grew up with horses, literally, and, you know, had to take care of. My dad raised registered quarter horses. And It was my job to go out there and water them and feed them day and night, day and night. We hardly ever did anything with them until the show came around, and they were kind of like a nuisance to me when I was growing up. And besides that, they cost a lot of money, and they were always getting slivers off the fence and always needing something done with a vet to come out and sew them up or this or that or a pill down the throat. Or, you know, it just seemed like money, money, money. You know, it's like, I think I mentioned this once before. I had a friend who had a boat, and there was a plaque on the boat. Do you remember me telling you that? And the plaque on the boat said, "A boat is a hunk of fiberglass into which you throw money." Okay? Well, a horse is another type of fiberglass, okay, into which you throw money. And so, but they're beautiful animals, and, you know, if a person can have them, what a blessing they are to so many people. And, man, don't take my comment to mean they aren't great. They're wonderful animals. But we didn't have the money or the place. And I just explained that all to her. But I tell you, I said, "But sweetheart," I said, "this is what I'm going to do." I said, "I'm going to pray that God will somehow make it possible for you to have a horse. And I want you to know that your daddy's saying to you that if there ever is a way or a means whereby you can have a horse, you will have that horse." So she began to pray, 8 years old, prayed and prayed. And she made a decision that I didn't know about until a few weeks or months later. She said, "Daddy, when you give me my money, you know, for allowance," she said, "I'm going to put that away for a horse." And she said, "Whenever I earn any money, I'm going to save that for a horse." Now, you know, a lot of kids make statements like that, and they don't follow up on it because the candy looks really good and the dolly looks really good, you know, and all that looks really good, and they spend that little bit of money. You know, kids have good intentions, but sometimes it's hard to be that disciplined. Not Carrie. She made that decision, and she very seldom deviated from that. For the next 8 years, she saved her money religiously, put it away, until after all that time, besides little miscellaneous things that she had to spend some money on, she finally had over $600 that she had saved for a horse. Well, you know, her dream. What was her dream? Her dream was to have a black horse, a black registered horse. That's what she wanted. That was her dream. And so she prayed, and that was what she was praying for. Nothing wrong with praying for that, and she knew how to pray. We taught her to pray, "Thy will be done," and she was praying for the Lord's will to be done. Well, I remember the day when she was 16 years old. She came in, she said, "Daddy," she said, "I found a horse for sale." I said, "Really?" She says, "Yeah. You know my friend Graciela?" I said, "Yeah." "Graciela's going to sell her horse." And I knew Graciela's horse, a registered Arabian. And but it was gray, not black. And I said, "Well," I said, "is that the horse you want?" She said, "Well," she says, "that's not my dream horse." But she said, "You know, I understand that sometimes we aren't as, you know, we're not as in tune with what God wants for us." And she said, it's an Arabian horse. It's a good horse, and it rides well." And she said, "And I can afford it. She'll sell it to me for $600. And there was a place to keep it. And we could see our way clear to help feed that thing, you know? And so we were thinking, well, maybe this is God's will. Sometimes we have to adjust our thinking to what God has for us. So we prayed about that. And she decided that that's what she wanted to do. And I said, "Well, if that's what you want to do, then we are just 100% behind you." So she went and bought this horse, which was called Pinocchio. Keep that in mind. It was called Pinocchio. And Pinocchio came to live with us, and it was a nice gelding, beautiful horse, just a delight. Not a problem. Didn't push over fences or eat on the posts or any of that kind of stuff. Okay, it was just a good horse. Wasn't high-spirited and wasn't wild, just a good horse. And she could ride that horse, and she was the right size for that horse, and she loved that horse, and they got along so well. We were never worried about that horse hurting her. They just had a good relationship. It was a good experience. Oh, a few months after she owned the horse, she came home, and she said, "Dad, you know where I've been going down and riding in the arena?" I said, "Yeah." She says, "That lady, she says she's willing to give me dressage lessons," because Carrie had always wanted to do dressage, you know, and that's where the horses go through these fancy paces, you know. And she said, "And I think Pinocchio has had some dressage training." "Really?" "Yeah." "Wow." So she said, I'm gonna find out." So she went back, and the lady herself got on the horse, and Pinocchio was trained for dressage. He knew how to do all these fancy things, you know, diagonal stuff and, you know, feet up and all kinds of stuff. He was doing all this dressage stuff. And Carrie only had to learn how to make him do it. That's all she had to do, because he was ready to go. Whoa! A dream answer. She couldn't believe it, because she'd always wanted to do dressage with her horse. So, then she goes, Dad, you know, I prayed for a registered horse. I said, yeah. She says, well, do you think Pinocchio could be registered? I said, well, he's had all that training. And I said, he looks like a purebred Arabian to me. I said, but I don't know how you'd ever find that out. She says, well, she says, he's been cared for all these years by a particular farrier. I'm going to ask him. I said, that's a good idea. So she asked the farrier, and he says, well, I don't know if Pinocchio's registered, but he said, I know where he came from. She said, you do? She said, yeah, he came from this place down in Grants Pass, because we were living in southern Oregon at the time. I know the family that raised these horses. I know right where he came from. I'll give you the phone number. So he gave her the phone number. She wrote it all down. She comes home. She gets on the phone. She calls the lady down there. And the lady says, oh, yeah, he's registered. He is? Yeah, he's registered. And she said, well, what do I have to do to get paper? She said, oh, you just send in $35 to this place and they'll send you back the papers and you've got a registered horse. Whoa! So here's Carrie praying that God will provide for her a horse. The only thing she didn't get was black. Everything else was exactly what she had prayed for. God was so good, and you know, when the time came that she traded in her horse on a guy, she got way more money for that horse than she paid for it. God always knows what's best for us. Now, I want you to, because of things that have been mentioned here today and a few things that may be in your minds, I want you just to stay tuned here with this for just a minute. Here it is. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. I meant to mention this earlier and almost neglected it, and I feel like I would be sinning if I let you leave without looking at this verse and hearing this one last thought about praying for things. Now, you know, we have a sweet family in our church who just lost a baby yesterday. And I'm sure that they were a praying family, probably praying for this little baby. Why does God let stuff like that happen? Or when you get a disease and you've tried to behave yourself and you still get a disease. You know, why does that happen? Why does God let stuff like that happen to us? Well, I have a thought for you. God made a solemn promise to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He said, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, someday I'll tell you a true story about this that will illustrate this, but I can't do it today. But here's the thought. God has promised that the most important thing is your eternal salvation. And he wants you to be in heaven. And sometimes he has to let bad things happen to us to get our attention and to help us stay close to God. The only time I ever saw my family get serious about God when I was growing up was when something bad happened. And then all of a sudden we remembered there was God. And that's true for too many people. And so God sometimes withholds physical blessings from us, even though a great big part of his heart wants to give it to you. Because he knows that if he allows you to suffer a little bit, you'll be more serious about your faith. And it will keep you closer to him. Because sometimes we get too lighthearted. And we need a little bit of sober stuff to happen to wake us up a little bit. Now turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 57. Right here, God says that sometimes he lets people die to save them. Isaiah 57. I'd like you to put yourself in the place of God for a minute. Suppose you're in God's place. By the way, I'm glad you're not and that I'm not, okay? But let's pretend for a minute that you are. And here's this person who's had some terrible disease strike him or some accident, and now they have to decide whether or not they're going to pull the plug in the hospital. Terrible thing. I've been in the presence of people when they had to make those decisions. Awful, awful time for people. But imagine you're God, and they're praying to you, and you say, God, they're saying, God, save him, don't let him die. Please save him. And you love every one of those people with all your heart. And you want them to be happy, and you know that what they want is they want that guy to live. But you also, because you're God, you see the future, and you know everything in that man's future, and you know that down here, he's going to have this terrible thing happen to him so bad that it will completely destroy his faith. And that there would be no way that he would be able to avoid such a thing. And you're thinking, if I let him die here, he will avoid this, and I'll have him forever. But if I save his life here, he'll go here, and I'll lose him forever. Which decision would you make? Aren't you glad you're not God? He has to make those decisions every single day. But I guarantee you, that when you get to heaven, you will be thankful for every adversity God let into your life so that you would be a person of faith. Because when you get to heaven, heaven will be cheap enough and you will not complain about anything that happened to you in your life because of the joy of eternity. It says in Isaiah 57, the righteous perishes and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away while no one considers that the righteous is taken away, what? From evil. God loves you so much, and he wants to give you every good thing. And say it again with me, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Try again. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The thing we need to do is when we pray for things to say, thy will be done, because God knows best. Let's stand for prayer. Oh, Father, what a great and loving, compassionate, generous God. We come to you with our needs, bushel baskets full every day. And you never tire of hearing us talk with you. And you never tire of providing the good things we need. Sometimes, Lord, you let us get sick. Sometimes you let loved ones die. Sometimes we don't receive the very thing we ask for, but always when you say no, it's because there is something much more important, something that is much better that you're trying to give us. But Father, we get so caught up in the here and the now that we forget that there is a greater future that you're planning for us. Help us to remember, Lord, that the temporary things that we do not receive are only because they're not really for our best good. And that's so hard for us, Lord, because sometimes we think they are for our good. So we want to pray to you today the way that man prayed when he said, Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. Give us more faith, O God, so that we are able to believe in you and trust in you even when we don't get a particular thing we've asked for. And help us to remember all the things we have received from you that we did pray about. Please bring to our minds when the devil whispers in our ears and tells us that you don't care about us. Help us to remember, Lord, all the things you've done for us so that we have that evidence in front of us to say, no, he does care. I don't understand right now, but I know he cares for me. Give us that kind of faith, Lord. Help us to pray more and more and more about the things that we need and to trust you, because you're too loving and too wise to make a mistake. And we know we'll understand it by and by. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.